Chapter 8. Richard came awake with a start. Warm midday light filled the room, and the wonderful tangy aroma of spice soup filled his lungs. He was in his room at Zed's house. He looked up at the familiar knots in the wood walls, and the faces he always made them into in his mind stared back. The door to the front room stood shut. A chair waited next to the bed, empty. He sat up, pushing the covers down, and saw that he still wore his dirty clothes. He felt for the tooth under his shirt and sighed in relief when he found it still there, safe. A short stick held the window open a few inches, letting in fresh air and the sound of Kalin's laughter. Zed must be telling stories, he thought. Richard looked at his left hand. It was wrapped, but no longer sore when he flexed his fingers. His head didn't hurt anymore either. In fact, he felt wonderful. Hungry, but wonderful. He amended that to dirty in filthy clothes and hungry, but wonderful. A tub of bathwater, soap, and clean towels sat in the center of the small room. A clean outfit of his forest garb was folded and stacked neatly on the chair. The bathwater looked deliciously inviting. He dipped his hand in and found the water warm. Zed must have known when he would wake. Knowing Zed as well as he did, that didn't surprise him. Richard undressed and slipped into the welcoming water. The soap smelled almost as good to him as the soup. He liked to stay in the tub for a good long soak, but he felt too wide awake for soaking and was eager to be outside with the other two. Unwrapping the hand, he was surprised to find how much it had healed overnight. When he came out, Kalin and Zed were sitting at the table waiting for him. Kalin's dress was freshly washed, he noticed, and she looked bathed, too. Her hair was clean and glistened in the sunlight. Green eyes sparkled up at him. A big bowl of soup waited for him next to her at the table, along with cheese and fresh bread. "I wouldn't have expected to have slept until noon," he said, swinging his leg over the bench. They both laughed. Richard eyed them suspiciously. Kalin straightened her face. "This is the second noon you have slept to, Richard."
"Yes," Zed added. "You slept right through the first. How do you feel? How's your hand?"
"Oh, I'm fine. Thank you, Zed, for helping me. Thank you both." He opened and closed his fingers to show them the improvement. "The hand feels much better, except it itches. My mother always said that if it itched, that meant it was getting better." Richard grinned at her. "Mine too." He fished a piece of potato and a mushroom into his spoon and tasted it. "It's as good as mine," he said to her earnestly. She sat crosswise on the bench, facing toward him, her elbow resting on the table with the side of her jaw nestled in the heel of her hand. She gave him a knowing smile. "Zed tells it differently." Richard cast a reproachful eye at Zed, who looked up at the sky in an exaggerated manner. "Does he now? I will have to remind him of that the next time he is begging me to make it for him." "Frankly," she said in a low voice, but not low enough that Zed couldn't hear, "from what I've seen, I think he would eat dirt if someone else dished it up for him." Richard laughed. "I see you've gotten to know him well."
"I tell you, Richard," the old man said, pointing a bony finger, not about to let them get the best of him, "she could make dirt taste good. You would do well to take lessons from her."
Richard broke off a piece of bread and dunked it in the soup. He knew the joking was a release for the tension he sensed, a way to pass the time while they both waited for him to finish. Kalin had given Richard her word that she would wait for him to ask Zed's help. It was apparent that she had kept her word. And Zed's way was to play ignorant and innocent, and wait for you to ask something first so he could better judge what you already knew. This day, Richard could not allow any of his games. This day, things were different.
"There is one thing I don't trust about her, though."
Zed's tone was dark, menacing. Richard froze in mid-chew. He swallowed and waited, not daring to look at either of them, while the other paused.
"She doesn't like cheese. I don't think I could ever trust anyone who doesn't like cheese. It's not natural. Richard relaxed. Zed was just twiddling with his mind, as he always called it. His old friend seemed to have a knack for catching him off guard, and he delighted in it. Richard stole a glance at Zed to see him sitting there with an innocent smile on his face. Richard smiled too, in spite of himself. While he relished the bowl of soup, Zed nibbled on a piece of cheese to make his point. Kaylin nibbled on a piece of bread to make hers. The bread tasted delicious. Kaylin was pleased when he pointed it out. As Richard neared the end of his meal, he decided it was time to change the tone of things back to business. The next quad. Has there been any sign? No. I was worried, but Zed did a cloud reading for me and said it appeared they must have run into trouble of some kind, since they were nowhere to be found. He gave Zed a sideways glance. Is that true?
True as toasted toads.
Zed had used the expression since Richard was young, to win him over with humor and let him know he could always trust the old man to be truthful with him above all else. Richard wondered what sort of trouble a quad could run into. For better or worse, he had succeeded in changing the mood at the table. He felt Kalin's impatience for him to get on with it, and he sensed impatience in Zed, too. Kaylin turned back to the table and put both hands in her lap, waiting. Richard feared that if he didn't handle things properly, she would do whatever it was she was here to do, and he would have no control over it. Richard finished his meal and pushed the bowl away with his thumbs, at the same time meeting Zed's eyes. His friend's humor was gone, but otherwise he showed nothing of what he was thinking. He simply waited. It was Richard's turn now, and once he began, there could be no going back. Zed, my friend, we need your help to stop Dark and Rawl.
I know. You want me to find the wizard for you.
No, that won't be necessary. I have already found him. Richard felt Kalin's questioning eyes on him, but he continued to fix his gaze on Zed. You are the great wizard. Kaylin began to rise from the bench. Without taking his eyes from Zed, Richard reached under the table and clutched her forearm, forcing her to sit back down. Still, Zed showed no emotion. His voice came even and soft.
And what makes you think this, Richard?
Richard took a deep breath, letting it out slowly as he put his hands on the table, intertwining his fingers. He watched his hands as he spoke. When Kaylin first told me about the history of the Three Lands, she said the Council had taken actions that made the death of the wizard's wife and daughter at the hands of a quad stand for nothing. And as punishment, the wizard did the worst thing possible to them. He left them to suffer the consequences of their own actions. That sounded like the very thing you would do, but I couldn't be sure then. I had to find a way to know. When you first saw Kaylin, and were angry that she had come here from the Midlands, I told you she had been attacked by a quad. I watched your eyes. They told me I was right. Only someone who had suffered a loss like yours would have had that look in his eyes. And you changed your attitude toward her after I told you. Completely. Only someone who had known the terror personally would have that kind of empathy. But still, I didn't trust my instinct. I waited. He looked up at Zed and held the other's gaze while he spoke. Your biggest mistake was when you told Kaylin she was safe here. You would not lie, especially about something like that. And you know what a quad is. How could an old man make it safe here, against a quad, without magic? He couldn't. But one old wizard could. The next quad is nowhere to be found, you said so yourself. They ran into some trouble. I think they ran into some wizard trouble. You were as good as your word. You always are. Richard's voice turned gentler. I have always known in a thousand little ways that you were more than you claimed to be, that you were a special person. I have always been honored to have you as my friend. And I know that as my friend, you would do anything, anything you must, to help me if my life were in danger. Just as I would do anything for you. I trust you with my life, and it is now in your hands." Richard hated closing the trap in this fashion, but all their lives were at risk. There could be no games.
Zed put his hands on the table and leaned forward. "I have never before been this proud of you, Richard."
His eyes told that he meant it.
"You got it all right."
He stood and came around the table. When Richard stood, they hugged.
"I have also never been this sad for you."
Zed held Richard in a tight embrace for a moment longer.
"Sit. I will be right back. I have something for you. Both of you sit and wait a moment."
Zed cleared the table. Then, holding the plates in the crook of his arm, he strode to the house. Kaylin looked worried as she watched him go. Richard had thought that she would be happy to have found the wizard, but now she looked more frightened than anything else. Things were going differently from what he had expected. When Zed reappeared, he was carrying something long. Kaylin came to her feet. Richard realized Zed's fist clutched the scabbard of a sword. Kaylin put herself in front of him before he reached the table, grabbing fistfuls of his robes.
"Don't do this, Zed," her voice was desperate.
"It is not my choice."
"Zed, please, no. Choose someone else, not Richard."
Zed cut her off.
"Kaylin, I warned you about this. I told you he picks himself. If I choose someone other than the true one, we all die. If you have a better way, put words to it."
He swept her aside, came to the side of the table opposite Richard, and slammed the sword down in front of him. Richard jumped. He looked from the sword up into Zed's fierce eyes as the other leaned over the table.
"This belongs to you," the wizard said.
Kaylin turned her back to them. Richard's gaze fell upon the sword. The silver scabbard gleamed with gold flourishes that embellished it in sweeps and waves. Steel crossguards swept out and down aggressively. Finally, twisted silver wire covered the grip, and interwoven along the side of the braided silver, gold wire formed the word truth. This, Richard thought, was the sword of a king. It was the finest weapon he had ever seen. Slowly he rose to his feet. Zed picked up the scabbard by the point and held the hilt of the sword to Richard.
"Draw it."
As if in a trance, Richard closed his fingers around the hilt and pulled the sword free, the blade making a ringing metallic sound that hung in the air. Richard had never heard a sword make a sound quite like it. His hand closed tightly around the grip, and in his palm and on his fingers opposite, he could feel the bumps of the gold wire that spelled out the word truth on each side of the hilt, pressing almost painfully into his flesh. Inexplicably, it felt precisely correct. The weight fit him exactly. He felt as if a part of him was now complete. From deep within, he felt his anger stir, brought to life, searching direction. He was suddenly aware of the tooth against his chest. As his rage rose, he felt an awakening power rushing into him from the sword, the twin to his own anger. His own feelings had always seemed independent, whole. This was like having an image in a mirror come to life. It was a terrifying specter. His anger fed on the force from the sword, and in return, the wrath from the sword fed on his anger. Together, the twin storm spiraled through him. He felt like a helpless bystander being dragged along. It was a frightening and at the same time seductive sensation that bordered on violation. Fearful perceptions of his own anger twisted with tantalizing promise. The bewitching emotions rushed headlong through him, seizing his anger, soaring with it. Richard struggled to control the rage. He was on the brink of panic, on the brink of abandon. Zedekus Zul Zorander threw his head back and spread his arms.
To the sky he called out, "Fair warning to those living and those dead.
The Seeker is named!
Thunder from the blue sky shook the ground and rolled off toward the boundary. Kaelin fell to her knees in front of Richard, head bowed, hands held behind her back. I pledge my life in the defense of the Seeker. Zed knelt beside her, his head bowed. I pledge my life in the defense of the Seeker. Richard stood gripping the Sword of Truth in his hand, eyes wide in breathless bewilderment. Zed, he whispered, what in the name of everything good is a Seeker?